Yeah, we'll give this a roll. I as I told Michael, I'm recording like normal. I'm recording Skype like normal, but I figured we'd give this thing a try. This program, when I hit the record button, it starts recording your end of the conversation on your machine, and I don't know whether it does it. It pushes it up as we go along, because I haven't tried anything real long. But when I hit the stop button, all the files get pushed up into my Dropbox account, and then I can download them from there. So
that sounds good.
So that would cut out all the Skype noise and issues. I mean, we'll still hear Skype noise and issues because we're using Skype, but. Yeah, well, I'll get a clean recording from you guys as if it was recorded locally. And it'll be...
Do we really want that?
It'll be... Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night Cure! Hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, Michael has a toxic gas problem. Joel introduces us to the bullshit corner, and Barry orders an industrial strength recliner. All that and more on Late Night. Cure! And now, digitally gathering to watch Barry's hard drive die. It's dead, Jim. Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! And the Zencaster is now recording.
Hey, I see.
Do you see a red button? Do you see time passing by on the countdown?
Yep. Yes. I see a big red button flashing
through the hourglass.
All right. Welcome everybody to Late Night QRM show number 208 from the Monadnock region in Southwest New Hampshire. I'm Barry J.
And from South Central New Hampshire, also on the top of the Monadnock region, this is Joel.
And from the Tokyo Plateau, this is Barty.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, where they're celebrating Mardi Gras tonight. Go figure. They never celebrated on Fat Tuesday. I don't know what the deal is in this town. This is Michael, the virtual Youper.
All right, everybody. Welcome. We're doing an experiment here. We are recording the normal way we do into Audition via Skype. But we are also trying out the new Zencaster app, which is web-based, and it basically records each individual person's side of the recording locally, and then pushes it up to my Dropbox at the end, and then I can either join the things through Zencaster, merge everything together, or what I plan to do is download all the individual files, which are synced. And put them in Audition, and that way I can tweak things and do things. And we have everybody on a separate channel that way. And no Skype issues. Well, woo-hoo! I mean, other than if Skype totally screws up, we won't be able to hear each other. But you won't hear all the screw-ups of Skype. So,
wow. We need that's to bring where we're back going quadraphonics. You remember that?
I could put this podcast out in 5.1. Woo. If you really want me to. It'll be a huge ass file, but
I think Anthony and Bob covered that in the last presentation. Yes.
They did. And I somewhat agree with them and somewhat disagree in other things that they had to say. Stereo and doing that, no, everybody needs to be dead center. So you just record it mono, but as far as the music portion is concerned, I like to have that in stereo.
I agree.
So we record this. We record this podcast in stereo, even though it's mono for our part, but any music is in stereo. So,
well, just to clarify, we might sound mono, but none of us have mono.
Yes, thank you for that.
Okay, so let's go around and see what everybody's drinking.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink.
Wow, that sounds bad.
And then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, and we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Hey.
Michael, you're up.
Oh, okay. Well, tonight I am sipping on what I call the Grand Marnier of whiskey, which is a Revel Stoke roasted pecan flavored whiskey, a product of Canada.
Ooh, nice.
And it is very hard to come by up here. It's the first bottle I have seen for sale since November when I started looking for it in any store.
Wow. So. Nice. Well, I am drinking in the official JD sippy cup of pleasure.
Yeah.
I am drinking. It's not just a Jiminy Coke. It's a Jim Jiminy Coke.
Jim Jiminy Coke?
Yes. Because it's pretty much 3/4 Jim Beam and just a splash of Coke Zero on the top.
Just for color.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it sounds like you have yourself a John Deere cup of happiness right there. That's a happy ending waiting to happen.
And since we were experimenting and getting all this stuff up and running so we could use Zencaster, it's I may have to go down and get another one.
Hell yeah.
refill the hand bucket.
Yeah, exactly. What'd you call it earlier, Marty? A hand cask.
Yeah, I think that's what you corrected to was a hand cask. I said a hand bucket. It's a bucket with a handle on it.
Yeah, you said barrel. You called it a hand barrel.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Forgive me, the Christian Brothers brandy and Coke's kicking in. And I don't remember what the hell I said 10 minutes ago. So anyway, that's what I'm drinking. Hi.
And I'm enjoying the usual.
Okay.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Barty. Go ahead.
As I'm enjoying my usual J&B brandy.
I thought Joel was, I saw CB and I was like, what? Is this some kind of fallback to the 70s or something? A CB brandy?
Oh, yeah, J&B brandy. J&B Scotch whiskey. I tried that. You know, that shit tastes like paint thinner.
Oh.
I hate J&B.
Wow.
The brandy?
Wow, the room went silent. Holy shit. All right.
I don't know if I've ever tried J&B or brandy.
Do yourself a favor. Just sample a little paint thinner cut with some diesel fuel. Pretty much the same thing. I was watching
J&B. You mean the stuff Barty drinks all the time?
No, he's drinking J&B brandy.
Oh.
This is J&B Scotch whiskey.
Oh.
So if you watch The Thing. That one that has, is it Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he plays MacReady, and he's talking into his little tape recorder, which is before the dictaphone, and he was talking in there, and he's drinking, he was playing on the chess game on the computer, that's what it was, and the computer beat him playing chess. So he opened up the top of the computer, it had like a flip open lid, and he just poured his glass of J&B Scotch in the damn computer and blew it up, which is... I can understand that. I've actually thrown tape decks out of the window of my car when I stopped working driving down the road, but that's a different story. So so I tried this J&B. This is years and years and years ago. I got some. Wow, did that taste like shit? I was shocked how lousy that crap tastes straight, even mixed with, I don't know, anything. Really like shit.
Wow.
That was like an infomercial.
There you go. I'm sure they'll use it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, really. You better demand a fair share of your payment for that.
Try J&B whiskey. Exactly. It tastes like shit.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
All right.
How about you, Barty? What do you got? What are you drinking, Barty?
He already said,
yeah.
Joel.
Yeah, I'm having
drinks. Woo! Party time!
You're too funny.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one. I can tell.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I will be right back. I need to open some doors here.
Oh, it's too hot.
No, there's a story. Rex? There is a story.
Oh.
I'm going
to. Oh, there's a story.
Who,
yeah.
Who farted?
Oh, that's what I was. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, like Joel said, who farted?
Hazardous gas.
Oh God! You know, we need to try to avoid drinking during the pre-show.
Oh. Well, while Michael takes care of his
hazardous gas,
we'll go into
God
days of our lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
The fuck was that?
That was me going at the same time he does in the recording. Okay.
Thought you'd just take it a toke.
Well.
You'd be like the Scarborough dude.
Yeah, all right, everybody. Welcome to Days of Our Lives. The part where we get to tell you about our boring lives.
Uh-huh.
So, I got one last thing to go with the Lazy Boy saga. I think the last podcast I told you, the Lazy Boy bid adieu, broke, shattered, split its mainframe.
Was that the one that was out of wood that had the threaded rod going through it?
Yeah. Well, more. It didn't just come off this time. It actually kind of split the frame. So, needless to say, well, we already talked about that because it actually happened.
I'll be over to pick it up tomorrow.
It's gone.
What?
It's gone. Because coming soon into a family room and near me will be a brand new flex steel recliner that is rated up to 400 pounds. And that's because the entire frame is steel. So, yes, we went out and went shopping at the local furniture store in... it wasn't Keene. What's the town? Winchester. Winchester? Not Winchester.
That's a pretty small town.
Swansea.
Uh-huh.
There's a big warehouse furniture store. And we went around and I sat and tried all the different recliners and I chose this one. Of course, I went and checked all the flex steel recliners because we decided we're going to get something that's going to last. And so it's on order and 6 to 8 weeks. So,
and you threw out your old chair already. How'd you get rid of it?
It comes apart in two pieces. The back comes off.
Wow. You chucked
it already. It's actually still here. It's about to go. It's in pieces and where Amory's going to haul it off because it's gone. It's the seat tore more. It was leaning to one side.
Oh, that sounds
yeah,
so sad.
Yeah, like, you know, Amory even tried to sit it and it not only did it rock back and forth, it rocked sideways now too. So
multi-positional.
So the flex steel one is coming, and then Amory decided, and I didn't care, but she says, well, if we're getting another one, you're going to get it in leather. So we got a leather flex steel one coming. So I said, okay, I've never had a leather chair before. You know, most of the things that I sat in that said leather were usually some form of vinyl.
And I
said, I don't really like that because you sweat. She goes, leather, you don't sweat in leather.
Actually, we had a leather chair, and I did sweat in it, and I replaced it with a cloth-covered Lazy Boy.
Well, I guess I'm going to find out.
I got the same feel from the salesman. That's why we originally bought it. Because you were buying Naga hide or fake leather, and real leather, that doesn't happen. Well, and this was supposed to have been a Raymour and Flanagan, I'll even specify the brand, real leather reclining chair, and it was kind of pricey. I got it home, and I didn't like it. It was too hot in the summer and too cold in the winter, just like I'd always found fake leather chairs to be. And when you sit around trying to play video games for, you know, like an hour or two,
you stick to them.
Yeah, you stick to it, you sweat against it and stuff, and it's like, you know, so I quit using it. I shoved it aside and put a cheap chair in its place, but my sweet bride was like, well, why aren't you using that thing? I says, well, because it just sucks.
I hate it. I hate it.
That salesman lied, you know. I don't care what he says about cheap leather and real leather. This one does the same thing as what we've always had. So she was the one that said, well, get another chair. And Barry had been going on and on about how wonderful his Lazy Boy was, that he was sleeping in it better than he was in his bed. So I went and got that and found out, the Lazy Boy is damn easy to sleep in. Don't go trying to watch a movie reclined in a Lazy Boy, because you will fall asleep because it's that comfortable.
It was a very comfortable chair while it lasted. But Barty, I don't think you'll have a bit of problem with yours, because you're not pushing the tonnage I am. That's what it comes down to.
You're definitely a hell of a lot taller than I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a nice polite way of putting it.
It got shit to do with how tall you are, brother. All right. Let's call it like it is. All right.
Let me tell you, at one point I was this tall at 198 pounds. So, not the 335 I'm pushing now. The only thing the weight gets a little more distributed on the tall frame, but not that still much. There.
Mine's mostly in the
mass
middle.
Is mass. So anyway, so it's coming, and now you got me worried about the leather thing. The only thing I was saying with the leather thing is, I said, well, my problem with the Lazy Boy, because it was microfiber, is in the winter months I would get up out of the chair and get shocked anytime I touched anything else. Yeah, so it wasn't a problem in the summer, obviously, but the wintertime, get up and it's like, oh no, I gotta touch something now. Ground myself.
Do you have hot air heat or a radiator?
In that room, it's
hot air. Propane. It's a hot air stove.
Well, yeah, it's a hot air stove. Yeah,
it's forced hot air. So that's what it is. It blows hot air to make the room warm.
Yeah.
And that's why you get statics.
Anne-Marie's got one of those things that you put on top, you fill it with water, and it's supposed to help humidify the air, but it only does it to a point. So I was saying, well, at least I won't shock everything with leather, but now I'm worried about the summer.
It's been my experience. Have you ever jumped into a sweet-ass Cadillac on a July day? That's black in color.
No.
It's got the leather seats, or a Mercedes sitting in the sun.
Really?
And you you're talking to
Chevy and Ford people.
And you burn the living sweet bejesus out of the top of your ass crack because your shirt rode up, your pants rode down, and it hit that leather seat at about 7,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, that sucks. Or in the wintertime, you jump in there, you take your coat off because you got a long drive. Car's been sitting out all night, and your shirt rides up in the back, and it hits the back of that old seat. It feels like it just leaned on a moderately soft ice cube. and you go, holy shit, that's cold.
That's why you get a vehicle with the seat warmers.
And then you turn on the heat. Yeah, you have to. If you have leather seats in a car, you have to have seat warmers and air-conditioned seats because it can really get your undivided attention. And then if you're sitting in the car with leather seats for a long-ass drive, air conditioning's on, everything's nice and cool, except for the small of your back, which is sitting against the back of that leather seat if it's not air-conditioned seat, in which case, when you still get out of it at the rest stop to take a leak, off the leather.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Well, the only thing I can say is I'm not planning on sitting in this chair in a car.
No, but you're planning on falling asleep in it.
And, huh?
You're going to fall asleep in it, aren't you? It doesn't mean sitting in a car.
Yeah, but the room is air-conditioned and heated.
So is the inside of a car.
And it's not like it stays about the same temperature all the time. So.
Except for where your back makes contact with the chair. You know what? Whatever, okay. Dude. I
don't know.
If you get up with sticky back, I'm not going to say I told you so, but you're going to say, shit, I wish I had cloth again. And then I guarantee you, you'll either be throwing a pillow on it or you'll be throwing a blanket over top of it.
Yeah, I'll probably put a blanket there.
Yeah, nice decorative one. You know,
I was okay with cloth. I was fine with cloth. You know,
the way I look at it is, he whose ass will be driving in the chair makes a decision on what it's fucking covered with.
Again, I was sitting in a leather one in the store, and it was comfortable. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
yeah. But how long were you in it?
Probably about 45 minutes.
Really?
Actually, I sat in it and I didn't move. Emery went around and looked at
him up. Come on, Barry, get your ass out of that chair.
Hey, doesn't
we went to a furniture store, so she went through the entire warehouse looking at stuff. I stayed in the chair. So I don't know. We'll find out.
Hopefully it works out. You know what? Fingers crossed. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure it will.
And I mean, so again, I would have been fine with cloth, but it's leather. So we'll see what happens. Oh well, what can you do? Did Michael come back yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I said I was back.
Take care of that hazardous gas.
Actually, it was
propane.
No, worse. I was sitting here. I dealt with something just before the beginning of the show, and I put 2 + 2. I was so distracted, and I'll get into some of that in Geek Corner. But I was trying to get things settled here to get Skype working in a proper microphone. And if things don't sound great, it's because I'm in the earbuds tonight. But part of it was I ran upstairs to try to find that magical box of cables that dug out when you guys were here.
Yes, yes.
And I'm trying to find it. And I'm like, what the heck is that smell? And I've been dealing with a nasty smell in the garage for the last 2 weeks. Every time I leave my office and go out into the main part of the garage, and I kept airing it out. And I was smelling sulfur.
Sulfur?
Sulfur.
And I went upstairs, and I start looking for this box of cables, and it's just literally eye-watering. It didn't click right away.
Batteries.
Yep. The UPS, there's a big lead acid UPS battery over by the main part where the internet equipment is.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking a big marine battery, and it was half empty.
Wow.
And I got to deal with this. And I put a different battery up there. I took that outside. And I've been thinking over the past week going, my eyes are burning. I've been coughing, but I just figured I was fighting off this cold that's running around Copper Harbor. Right. And all of a sudden, as you guys were starting the show, I'm like, holy shit, this is hydrogen sulfide. And it was upstairs. Wow. So I had, it's heavier than air. So it's gas falling. Has been generating, coming down the stairwell right outside my office and getting sucked in here. So that's nasty stuff.
You definitely needed to open some windows.
So I opened the blast door. I opened the garage door and I opened the back door. But that's why I immediately do not pass go, do not collect $200. And after the show, I'm running down to the fire station to get the gas meter. But
wow.
Yeah, all of a sudden it just occurred to me, that's hydrogen sulfide, you dummy. That's bad stuff.
Wow. Well, you're going to hear the funny part that just kind of popped in my mind because, I'm an asshole. The funny part that popped into my mind is that after the show, 3 hours of you breathing it in later, I'm going to go down and test. I'm thinking,
I've been smelling this
at that
for
point
2 weeks.
Yeah.
It just wasn't until it was just a nagging. But the thing is, hydrogen sulfide in small amounts, you don't smell at all. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous once you start to smell the sulfur.
Right.
And, but even then it was just like, I'm super sensitive to smells anyhow. And right. It just would catch a whiff of it down here. Like, man, it's like somebody lighting a match or something. And it's like, mm-hmm. I was searching all over the place for it, but upstairs, man, it's eye watering.
Wow.
And it cleared up immediately after I got that battery out of there. The battery is out in the back 40 in the snow right now. And I'll deal with that later. But, yeah. And then I went up there. I went up there once looking for the box, and I gave up. I mean, the smell was so bad, I actually left.
You had to leave. You had to leave.
I actually had to leave. And then I went back up to look for it again, and I thought, you know, I'm going to bring a battery up with me and change this out because I didn't want to deal with this. But, and, you know, it should have occurred to me right away, hey, this is bad gas. So
we're all entitled, man. You know, yeah. There's a million things going on. You're sitting there going, you know, I know I have the answer to this problem, but I'll be goddamned if I even know what the question is.
I'm trained as a paramedic, right now I should be sniffing amyl nitrate, but I don't have any handy. If I run down to the ambulance and break open the box, I'm sure that's going to, I'd have some splaining to do.
I just picture Michael sitting there going, I don't remember eating that at all.
So anyhow, that's what's that smell?
Ooh, what's that? Wow.
That's good.
Wow. Good thing you found it. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
wow.
No lie.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it just all of a sudden I realized, crap, you know, this might be a more eventful show than they want. I better go out and air out this building. Mike, are you there? Mike?
Thud. Uh-oh. Somebody call Mrs. Virtual Uper at the house,
call
please.
Mike. Oh, wait a minute.
All right. Joel.
Yes, well, my life is pretty freaking boring, and I'm happy about that. In the sense that in the days of our lives, I think one of the a couple of neat things happened. I really didn't do nothing that jumped out at me that was noteworthy that I did. Mm-hmm. But in, you know, when you come home from work and you're just sitting there in your chair and you flip open the old laptop, and I was perusing through, and I decided just kind of in a roundabout way is related to Bottom Gear, but I have been toying with the idea of installing ARB Detroit lockers in the rear end of Rambo. Cool. So I wanted to research them a little bit. And
can you explain what that is?
I was wondering that myself, Barry. Thanks. What the hell is that, Joel?
All right, ARB.
For the Motorhead Challenged.
All right, something, ARB is a brand name. You have Detroit, ARB, there's a couple different, quite a few number of brands. But what these are, a locker or a differential locker is in your differential, in the rear end of your vehicle. I don't care if it's your Jeep, your pickup truck, so long as it's a rear-wheel drive or sometimes front-wheel drive, but let's stick with rear-wheel drive vehicles. Mm-hmm. When you're driving down the road, you typically, in any other normal road condition circumstance, have one wheel drive. Because all rear ends, as for many, many years, are limited slip differential. The reason being they're a limited slip differential is because if one wheel is always powering the vehicle forward, if in the event you get stuck, say on ice, and you ever notice when you hit the gas, one wheel drives like crazy and the other one just kind of sits there. And the wheel that's actually supposedly that's driving forward is supposed to be the one that that's the one that doesn't have the traction. So it's spinning that wheel. And you're saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. That's what a limited slip differential does. If you're sitting on ice and you mash the wheel and you're stuck, say the left rear wheel is always turning, the right one's just sitting there. It ain't doing shit. And you didn't try to rock the vehicle or whatever. Well, if you had a locking differential, you hit a switch. Now, in some cases, they're air activated, and other times they're motor solenoid activated, and sometimes it's a mechanical linkage, a cable. It slides over a gear in the differential onto the axle, and it locks, hence the word locker, both rear axles together with the ring and pinion gear. So now when you hit the gas, both rear wheels simultaneously will spin at the same revolution, regardless of traction conditions or not. So essentially, you truly now have a what's also used to be called a posi-traction rear end. Both wheels are distributing power to try and push the vehicle, whether it be forward or backwards.
Yeah, like the old late 60s, early 70s Monte Carlos were known for those.
Well, yeah, but they had a posi-traction rear end is also a limited slip rear end in the sense that it doesn't truly lock both axles to spin on the ring and pinion gear simultaneously at the same time at the same revolution. The reason why you can't do that all the time is simply this. If you look at a vehicle, draw it on a piece of paper, there's a YouTube video to watch it. Anytime you take a turn with a vehicle that has a limited slip differential, and this is why they were invented in the first place, the inside wheel is actually spinning slower than the outside wheel.
Right.
Yep.
It's all physics.
Right. And if you had a posi-traction rear end and you're taking a curve to the left or a curve to the right, and both wheels in the back were spinning simultaneously at the same revolution, when you're taking a curve, you know what you'd hear?
Yep.
That's the one the tire outside. Jumping. Right, jumping.
Yeah, the front exactly. one or the middle one. Yeah. Or yeah, is well, it the outside the out, one
yeah,
that jumps?
The out, the, yeah, there's only two, one on the outside, one on the inside, so I don't know where the one in the middle came from.
Those got three tires in the back, I guess.
Yeah.
I learned all about posi-traction from the movie My Cousin Vinny.
Yes, well, they actually did hit on a lot of it with the posi-traction. Yeah. Well, I've been toying with the idea. My two-wheel drive Rambo, it's a great truck. However, I've been toying with the idea, do I want to try and convert it to a four-wheel drive? Do I just want to buy a four-wheel drive? Because of the year and vintage, blah, 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 blah. I was researching all this, and I'm like, oh, well, here's a video of this guy who's putting in an ARB, because I like the ARB brand. It's got a phenomenal, excellent reputation for its strength, of a locking differential, which locks the rear axles together that are air pneumatically driven. So you put a compressor in and you hit the switch in ARB air locker. The name of this guy's channel on YouTube is called, wait for it, drum roll please, Bullshit Corner.
Hey, great name.
Bullshit Corner.
Bullshitkorner. And the gentleman who has that channel, Jerry, who's up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, for those who don't know where Alberta or Calgary are.
The Flames are. Play.
He is awesome to watch. I actually, it's the first channel on YouTube I have ever subscribed to. And I actually come home now and I watch all of his posts. He's got like 4 years worth of posts, videos on this channel. And he is super friggin' funny. He's super intelligent. He's a millwright. He really? Works. He's got projects on Michael. This is where you'd love it. Jeeps, the death wobble, lift kits, how to do the heater core when you run into problems with the horn, what to look for this. I was watching all these, and he also works on his other friends' vehicles as well. Plus, he has like a million projects. How to work on his Honda generator, electronic. He's doing breadboard electronics for putting servo motors in to make LED lights move on his Jeep. Whenever he's camping, if you hear the noise, it'll move the lights to scare the animals away. He had to have surgery. Cool. This guy's really freaking smart, and he's really down to earth. And right up to in every episode, or just about every episode, especially if he's working on something, when you're just about done the end of the job, he has what's known as motherfucking beer time.
And that's where Joel got his interest. I follow this now.
And so when you have the MFBT, he now has stickers that he'll send to his subscribers if you write to him. The MFBT stickers where it's motherfucking beer time. It's and he drinks beers from microbreweries from the United States and Canada. People are sending him six packs from this one, and he reviews them on the video channel.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got to check this guy out.
So he's
incredible. We need to all send him some beer.
and it's, I'm looking at, so he's looking at this can of beer. He goes, hey, this is from one of our subscribers, good guy from so and so, you know, upstate New York. And the name of the beer is, Wild Horse Beer. And they're like, what the hell? Oh, you know, and it's like, in many respects, I don't know, being one of a more blue collar named nature and language speech patterns, it's like me talking. Oh, what's this shit? Crack it open. Yep, tastes like watered down piss. And he'll say that. Or if it's good, he'll say it's good. He goes on, you know, camping trips, all kinds of cameras, because he's really into photography. So he's going over cameras, camera gear, video equipment, the software and the apps he's using when he uploads. This guy's been doing this for years, and he's got like 32,000 subscribers to his channel.
Damn.
Jeez.
And he's just, it's just cool. He's a cool dude. And I'm like, and he worked at Pepsi as a millwright. He worked at the oil refineries until he got laid off. I mean, so I'm following this guy's story, and he's like this, but this is the same guy. You could drive up and go drink a beer with him. And, that's in our days of our lives. One of the things that I came across, Bullshit Corner on YouTube, and I really friggin' enjoy it. So check it out. That's one thing. And another thing, my beautiful bride had informed me, she has friends of hers that were, I believe, on Facebook. And one of her friends works for Nick Jr., I believe. And he was out there. They were all chatting in, I guess, or whatever, a group chat or whatever. But, and then said, hey, is there any good podcasts to listen to? You know, anybody got any recommendations of a podcast to listen to? So my beautiful bride saying, hey, wait a minute. I know the boys do Late Night QRM. Let me throw it up there for him. Well, he put that on his page to listen to www.latenightqrm, which happens to his followers, I suppose, are all in TV and media.
Oh, really?
Like,
we're definitely going to have to follow this guy.
Thousands of people who follow. So you got to go to my wife's webpage to see who, I don't know how this, the whole Facebook thing. I don't fucking do Facebook. You guys know that. So don't the seven listeners, which is now 10,000 that we have. But yeah, she's like, she told me this, and I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. I said, well, you talk about getting the name out there, because he posted it on his, and other people started picking it up. So she had asked me to say to you, Barry, when you check the stats for downloads, don't be surprised if you see a sudden upturn.
I'll look forward to it. I get stats sent to me every Sunday morning.
Yep. So you may see a sudden upturn. They'll listen to one episode and then I'm subscribed. But at least we had that one shot. Four boring middle-aged guys talking about shit I don't care about. But anyway.
All right. But, I love the peaks.
Yeah. So I didn't even put that all time.
Mary,
that
in there. We don't have valleys. We don't have peaks.
Oh, sorry, Barry. Go ahead. Finish.
I was going to say, we don't get peaks and valleys. We get peaks, and then it goes back to flatland.
Flatland, exactly. There you go.
That you probably ought to announce an email address that they could write to if somebody just wants to write and say, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So write to Barry at Late Night QRM. You suck.
Barry J. Barry J at QRMstudios.com.
There you go. There's the email address.
There we go. That's important. They need to have a point of contact and some place to send their thoughts to.
Yes, yes. And the Google Plus page is out there if you want to post any profanity.
Right, QRM, and just search for that in Google Plus.
Yep. And
we don't have a Facebook page because,
well why bother?
Yeah. Well, that would get a lot more activity, but we'd all have to be up there, and I know Joel will absolutely refuses to get up on Facebook.
I won't do Facebook.
Yeah, but you can't swear on Facebook, and can you? Without getting I've seen bitched about.
I don't know.
I mean, Google Plus. I mean, you can put anything you want on there, and Google's not going to give a rat's ass.
I don't think Facebook cares much anymore either, but.
Because I don't care about Facebook.
Yeah. The only time I actually go up and check Facebook is when the Podcasting Emporium sends me a message.
Right.
Or a notice. You know,
Check out my, you can find me on my MySpace page at I don't fucking care anymore.
You and Tom.
at CompuServe.com.
There you go. So there's a blast from the past.
Yeah, I joined this thing called America Online. Have you heard of it?
Oh, wow. What is that?
That's what came along after CompuServe.
Yeah, no shit, huh? I mean, it's right up there with my Earthlink.
I remember going to the dentist once, and I went to the dentist in Vienna, Virginia, down there, and he was in a business park, and up on the second floor of this business park, there was a window, and there was like a banner in this one window that said America Online, and that's basically where they got their start.
And you didn't buy stock.
No, I didn't. Because when they started growing and growing and they became AOL, they started building a huge campus over by Dulles Airport. I don't know whether that's still AOL there now or not, but yeah, they
probably
built
empty warehouse
two or three buildings. Yeah, really. So, anyway, wow, how did we get into that subject from...
From Joel.
Joel. Fucking guy.
It's all Joel's fault. Yeah, Joel did it. It's all fucking Joel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just like Final. It's always Joel's fault.
So the last topic is Michael, and it says don't ask. So let's go right into Geek's Corner.
So it says don't ask. So why don't we just go ahead and ask?
Well, the don't ask is not directed to you or Barty or Joel. The don't ask 2 weeks ago was directed at the town. A couple of things I've been contemplating, and after the last fiber outage, which was, 35 miles from here, nothing to do with the harbor, and I went to town at 11 o'clock at night, and a half dozen people bitched at me in the bar because the internet was down. I finally said, that's it. I quit. And they're like, what do you mean? I quit. I am not supporting your networks, your Kindles, your iPhones, your point of sale systems, anything in this town anymore. I'm done. And the announcement was made to the DDA, the Downtown Development Association, that I have also resigned from, after an incident with a shop owner here in town. I won't call out the business, but I was talking to somebody else about that. We have a couple of situations in town where people come in and overrun the town for several different events. One is the longest day fishing event, where people come up here with the pretense of fishing, kind of like the pretense for deer camp. And they get falling in the street drunk, type conditions. And several of the business owners turn their heads away from any of the trouble because it's huge income for them. So things that normally would torque people off, messing with the playground at the school, stuff like that. Well, this week, actually 2 weeks ago now, they have the antique snowmobile ride. Same thing. It's an excuse for snowmobilers to come here and get incredibly intoxicated. Open liquor in the streets. And at one point, they're riding their snowmobiles through the schoolyard, through the playground. They backed up their snowmobile trailers all around the grooming equipment, blocking it in for the cross-country ski trails, of which they continued to take off down the ski trails with their snowmobiles. I pulled up next to one of the other guys who groom and said, hey, isn't this lovely? And one of the business owners... This is late night, right?
Yeah.
One of the business owners came storming up to me because I'm always the one defending, everybody should be held to the same standards in this town. And he's screaming at me, shut your goddamn whining about the snowmobilers in this town. They're the number one income for all the businesses. And he comes up and he slams his fist into the roof of my Jeep and says, get the fuck out of here.
What?
And I thought about it, and
that's kind of bullshit, man.
I contacted somebody who works for that business, and I said, I have some parts for your POS system. I'll drop them off for you because nowhere in hell am I supposed to put on that premises anytime in the future. And then I thought about it some more, and I said, you know, there definitely is a difference of opinion in this town of what should and shouldn't be going on. I'm not against snowmobilers. I'm not against fishermen. Right. But it doesn't give you carte blanche to just, you know, ride in the town and tear it up.
Right, wreck the place.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, back Michael.
To that single speed thing. Yes.
Here's my perspective on this a little bit. They, as you said, they kind of look the other way because they're making money on these guys.
Right.
You're the guy that has to go and clean up after them.
Yep.
And they don't.
And more ways than that, one.
But it affects the other businesses in town too. I mean,
yes.
And you know, these summer events don't take into account like the campers, which really are like 80% of the income in the town during the summers. Yeah. But you know, I thought about this and I said, you know, there are several events during the year that just get my blood pressure up. And you know what? I'm tired of it. You know what? I don't live in town. I don't pay taxes to the downtown business development association district. It doesn't come out of my pocket. And then that was also, as I said, this last fiber outage was the last thing. I can't go to town for a beer. I mean, if I'm lucky, I'm done like 11:30 at night where I can go to town and finish up my paperwork. And I'll go down and try to have a glass of wine or a glass of beer. And I will guarantee at least three different people will come up with me, you know, come up to me and complain about internet, computers. I can't figure this out. And I went over the figures from last year. Now this is before the company I work for insisted I go on to exempt salary because I always docked myself anytime something happened in town, but you know, I also worked three other jobs. Mm-hmm. And I figured out last year, actually, I stopped counting of verifiable loss of income. Not just, you know, what I could have been making, but verifiable loss of income last year was over $5,000 supporting this town.
Wow.
It ain't going to happen again. I can't afford it.
That's amazing.
And what I got in return for it is just continuous calls on the phone here, people that normally are mild-mannered people just bitching like I'm Fairpoint. You know, it's like, it's not even my job. So,
yeah.
Sorry for getting on a, you know, using this as a preaching point here, but yeah.
No.
That's where the don't ask comes from. Because I finally just told everybody, you know, and normally resigning from the DDA would be an earth-shattering thing, but people glossed over that. What do you mean you're not supporting the town anymore? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, telling it you wasn't now your job in the first place.
I'm telling you now because you damn well figure something out before summer because your point of sale system goes down. Your credit card machine goes down. You can't get on a Facebook at night. Don't you dare call me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. The 911 call. Yes. I drop everything for that. I'm not stopping my work on the ambulance. Although I am so burned out at this point. If I could take a sabbatical from it, I would, but there's no one else.
Yeah.
God, Michael.
So, that's part of why I haven't been podcasting for the last month. There's other stuff going on. I really don't want to get into here, but I was walking around pissed off for a while. And I said, you know, it's not worth walking around being pissed off.
It's not.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy load reason that you've been carrying.
That's a way heavier load, but I'll tell you, Michael, that's the reason why I don't go on Facebook that much anymore, because I look at it and I say, it's only causing stress on me.
I can ignore that stuff.
It pisses me off, and I'm like you. It's like I've come to a point where if you annoy me, I'm ignoring you.
I've been meaning to talk to you. Why don't you call me anymore?
Yeah, that's a good
one. Well, you know, it's only taken me, you know, way too late in life to, first of all, I think Dr. Dave would appreciate this. I guess deep down, a part of me is an asshole. I repress it all the time. But, you know, eventually, It's like the Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me if I'm angry. And I have been, you know, being in electronics and everything, it's been this story, I think, since I was a teenager. Because before the internet, people wanted me to fix their TV sets. They wanted me to fix their radios. You know, I did. Why is my VCR flashing 12? You know, it never stopped.
Because you're an asshole. That's why it's flashing 12. You're a dumbass.
Yep.
Well, anyhow,
you know, I think it'd be good for them too.
There, but that's days of our lives. I figured I'd, you know, get it out there. And you know what?
And it'll be interesting how they treat you once all that stuff that you maintain starts falling apart.
Well, and people are shocked. But at the same time, they're like, but you were over somewhere. I said, I can choose where I want to work. But I'm not giving you guys any more experience, you know, any more excuse to call me when you feel like it, because I'm going to say, go away or just hang up on you. There is one person, only one person in town who actually matches my day job hourly wage when they ask me to do something. And they take the time to say thank you. You know, we had that big outage over Christmas and New Year's when I actually took vacation time away from work to get the town back up and running. I'm still doing the backhaul, by the way. I won't deal with the day-to-day people here. Right. But I have vested interest in keeping the backhaul up. But
I can't imagine why.
You know, after I took vacation time, after I did all that stuff for a couple of days, there was only one person in town that bothered to pick up the phone and call me and say, thank you for getting the internet back up. That's the same person who takes the time to pay me my prevailing wage, too.
Wow.
So, yeah, there'll be a couple of people that I continue to help, but in general, and that's why neither one of my boys want anything to do with support of the town. I mean, they work their tails off, but they want nothing to do with electronics in town. Or support, network support. They know how to do it, but they've heard the angry phone call, you know, the messages left in my machine that has nothing to do with me. And it's not the internet provider. Those guys are great guys. They're doing what they can. They've really bent over backwards to help us out. And I thank them. I told them, I said, I'm not quitting because of you guys. I'm quitting because of the town. These are the guys that, when you guys, shortly after you guys, left and my wife was back in the hospital and I was, trying to manage everything for the hospital room. The owner of the internet company showed up at my door with a huge check. I said, hey, you could use that this month. So nice. I appreciate those guys. And they know why I've had enough. So, okay. I've beat this into the ground enough, but yep, that's been the recent days of my life. And I'm feeling much better now.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing, Michael. So
yes.
Yeah, I probably should have done it years ago.
People, there's a lot of people these days that they just, it's that entitlement thing. And it's not just, the new generation either. When it comes to this kind of stuff, it's our generation too. It's like, well, what do you mean I don't have internet? What do you mean it takes people to keep the internet going? Well, they should just do it. I'm entitled to it.
It's like you always took care of it before. Why can't you take care of it now? You know,
because I can't.
Exactly. God. That's totally true.
Yep. The turning point was when I got a full-time job. I mean, I was always, self-employed, you're always full-time, but self-employed, you have a little more flexibility.
Guess what? Guess what comes first? My boss always says that to some of these. There's people at work that, I got to take off because I got to do this, and I got to take off because I got to do that. And, I can't come in this weekend because I'm going skiing. Well, the job isn't complete and we need to get it done. Well, I can't. Yep. I'm going skiing. It's like, does ski pay you?
We get the same thing here. And it's always the younger people that feel that, the job can always wait for me. And it's like, no, we need to get this done by a deadline. Why do I got to do it? Well, because you're part of the team and you have to bear your part of the weight. And they always seem so surprised by that. Yep. I guess it's part of the mentality that comes from not keeping score and everybody always wins because...
Everybody's a special snowflake.
So nobody has to work harder than anybody else. Yeah. Well, until you get to real life and the real world where, hey, working hard fucking matters and sloughing off means you get left behind, asshole.
Yep. Yeah. And I really get ticked because, if those guys don't come in on the weekend, that means I got to get my ass in there on the weekend.
Well, we don't want that.
We don't want that.
And we got a show to do.
Yeah, we want you home on Saturday night, goddammit. At least every other week.
I go in when I have to.
And by the way, for our new listeners, I don't blow up like this every week. But once or twice a year, you get to hear me go off the handle like that.
Generally, Michael's the nicest one of the four of us.
Yeah.
He's Barry's an asshole.
Yeah, I'm a total prick.
Yeah, normally, I suppress my inner assholeness.
I love it.
Sorry. And Joel's dying, or is that Barty dying?
That's Barty.
That's me. I didn't mute my mic quick enough.
Well, let's get into Geek Corner, shall we?
All right. Yeah, please.
My front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
All right, that's such a sudden cutoff.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, I'm first on the list. Nobody. All right. Sure. Well, bad news here this week. Actually, it happened yesterday.
What?
I had a 2 terabyte Seagate external drive that I was using pretty much with the MacBook Pro here, because the MacBook Pro only has 500 gigabyte drive in it. And I was building up stuff, so I started moving stuff off to that thing. Now, I tend to do at least 2 backups in 2 different locations, but not too long ago, I had pushed a bunch of stuff to that drive to, clear off the 500 gigabyte drive a little bit, the local drive and stuff like that. And yesterday I got that perpetual beep. And that was about it. And I said, you got to be fucking kidding me, right? So it gave up the ghost. I'm reading nightmares. Oh, if you got data on there that you want to retrieve, you can take it to these people, and for a mere $3,000 to $5,000, they'll retrieve your data for you. Yes, data retrieval is very expensive. That's why it's much cheaper to buy 2 or 3 hard drives and back it up on 2 or 3 different locations.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, so I may have lost some stuff. I think most of the stuff that I care about is in 2 or 3 locations already. So, but the problem is I just don't know what, So, and I am going to try to get it to light up. I'm going to try plugging it into the Mac Mini and see if it'll start up on there, but not. From what I was hearing, the noise it was making, I think it's gone. So today, I was going to go order via Amazon a new external drive, and I looked at it and I said, I'll get here Sunday, but I really would like to have it today. And so I went to the Walmart page of all places, and cause Walmart's been pretty competitive with their prices now. And, lo and behold, at the Ringe Walmart, they had exactly what I was going to order on Amazon for the same price.
Wow.
So I made a trip down to Walmart and got myself a Western Digital passport. No, my passport Ultra. And let me tell you, external hard drives have gotten a lot smaller.
Yeah, they have.
Tiny, and it no longer needs an external power source. Plug it right into the USB cord or location, and they're fast. So I got that today, plugged it in, got it all formatted upright, and that's where I used to keep my virtual machines. Well, I had a Linux virtual machine on the old drive, so, and I was getting ready to try to put Windows 10 on, because when I had Windows 7, I had a family pack upgrade, which with a code on it, product code on it, that was good for 3 licenses. And I said, it finally dawned on me last week. I said, I can just put Windows 10 on the damn thing and use the product code from Windows 7 and it'll work fine. So today I installed Windows 10 on my MacBook Pro. And Ubuntu Linux also. So I got three operating systems on the laptop again, as long as I've got the external hard drive plugged in.
Right.
So, but yeah, and I had no issues whatsoever. When you install from scratch, everything just seems to work just hunky dory. So so that was my geekiness today. We'll go on to, actually I handled both of my, or two of mine because, they were split. So Michael.
Yeah.
I guess so you had some issues.
I've been doing the MacBook shuffle here. This all started, I don't remember if I talked about this two shows ago or last show, but I mentioned that my wife's MacBook had an issue and we thought the drive had gone bad. So I gave her my backup machine temporarily. Actually, did she? No. What was she using? Yeah, she was. I was kind of giving her whatever I wasn't using at the moment here in the office. And we got a drive in, and a brand new drive, brand new hybrid drive, put it in. Loaded Captain Crunch. Actually, I loaded Yosemite first because that's what she was running, and then restored her Time Machine image and brought it back up to the house and promptly failed again, exactly like the drive that had been in there.
How interesting.
And I'm thinking, what the heck? Because the original 500 gig drive that was in there, she needs a terabyte because of everything she's got on it, mostly photos, because of the photos she takes. So I put the 500 gig drive back in and it worked. I'm like, well, what the heck? So the 500 gig image, I couldn't restore her Time Machine because of it was just wouldn't fit.
Right.
But, you know, let her at least get back online, pay bills, do her webmail instead of her normal client email. And I contacted the local Apple store and I said, hey, or the Apple repair store. We don't actually have an Apple store. And I said, this is what's going on. And they're like, yeah, it's 2011 vintage. It could very well be a disk drive cable. And I said, you know, I brought this up to you at least twice while it was still in AppleCare. And you've got it down in your notes. So I started doing some digging. I said, yeah, they said, yeah, bring it in next week. We'll take a look at it. In the meantime, though, I looked at it. And we'd had a problem with this particular machine like a year after I got it. And they said, oh, yeah, we replaced the hard drive. And this machine used to be a whole lot faster than my 15-inch. And then it's performance ever since they replaced the hard drive has been mediocre. So I started digging into it this weekend and found out that when they replaced the hard drive, I don't think it was the hard drive because they replaced the 6 gigabit per second or six gig streaming, you know, the serial streaming rate to it,
right?
With a 3 gig. Yeah. Well, the problem is that the disk interface won't run at 6 gig anymore, not reliably. And the hybrid drive that Chris had in there was a 6 gig, and it lasted about a year. Now something has caused it to go haywire again, and I'm really thinking it's the disk interface cable. They did have a problem with these things because on the unibody ones, as I did some digging, although the outside of the unibody is very finely polished, the underside is not so finely polished. And the rest of the cables inside the MacBook all have adhesive to hold them in place so they don't shift around, except for the disk drive cable, because it has to be flexible so you can change the drive. So it rubs up against the inside of the unibody case and will wear through sometimes. So in the meantime, I took my good 15-inch, pulled my SSD out of it. This is Geek Corner, so I can say these things. put the terabyte, the new terabyte drive I ordered that wouldn't work in this one. It formatted just fine. Installed Captain Crunch on it. Restored her image on it. And she's up and running with my main development machine. So I'm highly motivated. But it's also the machine that has the separate line in and line out on it, which is why I was doing the microphone shuffle tonight. I have put the 500 gig back in her machine, which is what I'm talking on right now. And then since the 3 gig interface works, although I think it's generating errors, it doesn't air out. It's because it's still slow. It shouldn't be slow. But I put the 500 gig in there, put my image back on that. I've set my SSD aside so I can jump back to that when everything's fixed. And then I thought, you know, let me try something. I pulled out the old white 2009 MacBook again. Did some shuffling around, put her old 1 terabyte hybrid drive in there, built an external boot drive, booted it up off of that, did install Captain Crunch off of that, and it's about 30 minutes away from being completely restored to her old image.
Wow.
Nice. All right. Yay.
And I've noticed that the transfer rate is 25% faster on her 2009 than the 2011. So there's definitely something wrong with the 2011. So anyhow, it turned into a Shaggy Dog story, but I've been literally shifting drives between 3 different MacBooks this week and restoring images. And although it works really well when you go from one operating system to the other, you know, one version of the OS 10 to the next version, you can't just do a simple retrieval. It's a full restore, which is about 6 to 7 hours.
Wow.
It works really well. You know, every single bit is the way you want it, but it takes about 6 to 7 hours for that to happen.
Yeah. Jeez.
So she doesn't know it yet. And she misses her white MacBook dearly. So
I love mine.
It's 7 years old, but you know, I bought it new. It's been a great machine. So it looks like I have breathed life back into it. Well, dude, stay tuned 2 weeks from now for our next show, and I'll let you know whether it survived or not.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, I guess you just kind of get addicted and used to the things that you're familiar with.
Yep. No, she does not like the unibody case. She prefers the old, the white series that came out. And I will tell you, the Wi-Fi is incredible on those white MacBooks because there's no metal around the antenna. The antenna on the unibodies is, if you look at them, you've got that black plastic strip, you know, above the keyboard, between the keyboard and the front display. That's where the antenna is.
Yeah, I know.
And depending on how you have it opened up, you know, it blocks the signal pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, the problem with my 17-inch MacBook Pro, though, it always seems to work pretty well. It's just, you know, I've had it so long now that it's like, you know, it's a really, really slow to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and my 15-inch is great. That's a 2010. I mean, that thing just rocks. And, you know, fortunately, the company, they bought me the new 2015 Retina, and you know, now that I know why I've had the headaches and everything the last 2 weeks, but
really,
but
yeah, really,
there's nothing like if you got a program, at least you need a Retina screen to program with if you got a headache, because you don't have to focus quite so hard.
Yeah, you just got to play with the fonts, though. I have to enlarge my fonts on the Retina screen because the standard ones are just way too small. But then again, in the handicap section, or excuse me, whatever it's called.
Accessibility, I think it is.
Accessibility, yeah, accessibility thing.
Enabled area.
The thing I turn on is the control in two swipes to zoom in, zoom out the entire screen. I use that all the time.
Oh, no, I zoom all the time. But we're not that far apart in age. So.
No. And And I miss it on my PC because the PC, they don't have anything close to that capability. It's so easy on the Mac. And it's just swipe in, swipe out, you know, and just way too easy. But anyway, sometimes no, that's cool.
Too easy. When you don't want it to happen, and it happens because you got a touch-sensitive mouse and you have like an agitated, you know, overly active finger, you know, the screen jumps all over the place, and you're like, whoa, you have to force yourself to restrain your hand.
Yeah. Well, that happens to me a lot when I get on Facebook, because that's when the restless middle finger syndrome tends to, you know, rear its ugly head, and it's usually on my right hand, which is handling the mouse. So
yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But, you know, I do love the idea of the Magic Mouse with a completely touch-sensitive surface, but I do have to say,
I gotta tell you, I have that. I got that. Oh, sorry, Barty, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that I have it on all my machines and I love it, but there are times when I don't really understand why, but my hands start to just not really vibrate, but they kind of shake a little. I guess it's, you know, something to do with, you know, having an organ transplant. But when I try to play with a mouse and I try to be careful and do delicate things, my finger is kind of like jitter a bit and it jumps all over the place. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it's really hard to, like, you know, grab. I mean, it's one thing to grab control of a leg or an arm and force it to do something, but trying to grab an individual finger and try to force it into a single action that a little tiny device like a mouse is measuring micro movements, it's that messes you up sometimes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it's kind of plus.
It's a situational thing because overall I love the mouse, but there are times when I want to throw it out the window and says, where the hell's the old mouse?
Well, I got to tell you that I got it finally because, you remember back in the days when I told you about my trigger finger that I had and I couldn't even, you know, get my middle finger fully erect.
Oh, that must have sucked as a person driving into Massachusetts.
Well, we went through all that and the little blue pill didn't work or anything.
There was
a lot of pain involved with that, and you know it was all because of repetitive movement, and you know I was willing to try anything, and I'm looking at these magic mouses, and I'm like, that's probably gonna not make any difference, but I got to do something and see if it'll, you know. So I got one, and I got to tell you, after I started using the fact that you can do the same kind of movements on the top of the magic mouse, but you can do it in different ways. You don't have to, your finger isn't constantly moving in one place and one position all the time. It really has significantly. I mean, I really don't have any finger or any problems with that finger anymore.
You know what you're saying sounds so dirty in a certain way.
But it's. I mean, I don't have my camera on, but you can see it's fully erect now. I don't have any issues.
I don't want to hear about that, Barry. I don't want to hear about that.
It's stiff and erect, and and it doesn't hurt anymore. So after
somebody give me a drink,
after repeatedly,
I need another drink.
Having to do something with it.
Yeah, well, Barry, what you do with it is your own business.
Okay. Well. We'll go on to the next subject, which is mine. It's going to be a short subject. I got to say that we missed it. I think on the last,
anything's better than this. Let's go.
On the last show, to talk about it, but Samsung had come out with their new Galaxy 7 phone, and you know, as I told you, I'm going to really look at this versus the iPhone 7 and make a decision. Well, I'm telling you, I was not impressed by the Galaxy 7 at all. Almost like they didn't do anything to it this year.
Hey, the one thing I want to know, does it have a slide to open feature?
I don't know, but they do. The one thing that everybody, all the Android people are thrilled about is they've got a slot for a memory card again.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I've got a company phone that's an older Galaxy one. And the part I hate about it is that the screen is always active. You throw it in a backpack, you throw it in the bag somewhere, and anything that touches the screen activates it. And, you know, it will switch screens and activate all kinds of apps. And like, you look at the thing, and there's like 30 apps activated. You're like, what the fuck? You know, and you have to kill them all. But the thing is that, you know, with an iPhone, you have a swipe to access function. So, like, if you have an iPhone thrown in the backpack, nothing's going to happen until you pull it out and swipe it aside. Or
I think we talked about that before, Barty. Yeah. I think you really need to go in and look at your settings because they have. I know my Nexus 7 has a swipe feature, which I think you have to turn it on.
Well, I've got a I've got an actual Google tablet that has that feature, but this phone doesn't seem to have a way to turn off the screen. Because I've gone through the settings and I don't find it. So, you know, when you talk about this Galaxy 7, I'm kind of interested. Does it have a way to turn off the screen?
So that you have to
activate?
Marty, did you say you had a Galaxy 5?
I'm not sure if it was a Galaxy. I think it was just like a Samsung S5 cell phone.
Okay, that's it. Thanks. All right, thank you.
You're talking about is like a tablet, Barry?
No, it's their phone. That's a Galaxy 7 phone.
Okay.
I gotta say that the display is beautiful on the thing. It is gorgeous because they use those OLED displays, and they are gorgeous. And I don't think the iPhone's quite rare. Apple's quite ready to put them on their phones yet. Probably because of the new 3D touch thing. But I don't know. I just wanted to say that it came out and I wasn't impressed. So now we'll see what the iPhone 7 is going to have. And how they're going to piss me off with the no mini plug for earbuds. And somebody already said, oh, yeah, they're planning an adapter that you can get if you want to use standard earplugs on it. And it'll be somewhere between, oh, guess what? I know exactly how much it's going to cost, $29.95 for an adapter. So,
no kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's what they always do. So, yeah. So,
anyway. Can I interject for just a minute?
Sure.
Great. Okay, cool.
Because you never talk here in Geek Corner.
Usually not, but in this instance, I may have something to offer. Barry, I'm on Samsung.com.
Yep.
There are 5 different type of phone locks that are available for the Galaxy S5. The Samsung lock features a swipe and a 4-digit lock pattern. Lock features. One is a pattern, another is fingerprints, another is PIN, and the last is password. From the home screen, touch apps, touch settings, touch lock screen, touch screen lock. You are now at the options for the following individual instructions for any one of the 5 different ways to lock and unlock the screen.
So there you go, Barty.
I'll have to look that up. Because I Googled the same thing, and I didn't come up with any way of doing that. Can you email me that URL, Joe?
Yeah, sure. I'll put it on the Skype right now.
Samsung.com.
Samsung.com/UK/support.
Oh, UK.
Yep. You got to go to the UK, and they'll actually show you how to do it all.
UK is okay with me. I love the UK.
So I'll put it on the Skype. I'll put the URL in right now.
All right.
And paste and enter. There you go.
There it is. Oh, woo-hoo! My ears.
Oh, boy.
I think I have my volume too far. That Skype beep. Just deaf in my right ear.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, sir.
So, all right, Barty, I see you slipped a thing in there.
Yeah, you know.
Slipped the disc?
What? Yeah, I slipped the disc.
He slipped the topic in.
Actually, that's my wife that has a disc problem that's still ongoing in diagnosis. But anyway, oh, sorry. No, all I was going to say is that I was kind of excited when Apple released the information that they were going to put out larger screen iPhones. So, you know, I went and got a larger size screen. I got an iPhone 6 Plus. Not 6 Plus, but not a 6S Plus. And I got the larger phone because I thought, well, maybe with a larger screen, it would be easier to read. I could maybe move some of my iPad functions to a phone because a phone, you always have on you, where an iPad, you know, you tend to have some distance from. because, you know, something that size you don't really have in your back pocket. My experience having the phone for a while, like it's been about a year now, and I still find that I can't read the screen, even though it's a larger screen. I don't really have an easy time reading the screen, and I'm actually spending more and more time with the older iPad, less and less time with the newer iPhone. So,
well, that's because, Barty, you're used to using an iPad, and the iPhone 6S or 6 Plus, which the one I have is, I go back to my iPhone 5 and I look at it now that I'm used to the 6 Plus. I've had it for a year and a half or so. And I go and I look and I say, you know, 5 was good when I had it, but I needed a little more screen thing, but I still consider it a phone. My 6 Plus is much better, but it's still not an iPad, and it's never going to replace the iPad. So, you know, especially, you know, a 9-inch or whatever the standard iPad is, you're used to that. And it's not going to, you know, the 6 Plus isn't going to do it for you. It's if you want to see more information on a phone, it's good for that. A lot of people complain they can't get their hands around it. I don't have that issue because, well, my fingers are, well, not to brag, Donald Trump, but my fingers are quite long.
Donald, you're small.
And can wrap around the phone. But yeah, it's not a replacement for an iPad, Barty. And if that's what you're used to, then use an iPad now. Well, I don't know how you can shove it in your back pocket, but
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when Apple started talking about having a larger screen iPhone, I started thinking that, well, maybe I could move some of my iPad things to the iPhone.
Yeah.
And have a make one device.
Right. You've talked about this before.
Oh, have I?
Okay. Yeah, about you know, moving it over to the iPhone. But, you know, again, you get used to so much display real estate.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, you're still moving it to a smaller screen. Okay, we got to watch our time here because we're getting...
All right. I get you, Barry. Next!
Sorry. Let's go on to the Ingress alert.
Acquiring position.
Okay, that's good enough.
Yep, Bob, don't go get a beer. There's not enough time. Yeah, just saying, other than keeping my guardians up and Mark's guardian up, nothing to see here. Move along.
Yep, and absolutely nothing. I didn't even check the Ingress Intel map this week. So
really?
I'm really weaning myself away from it. Being tough. So, anyway, all right. Let's get down to our favorite segment, Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and we have a few stories to tell. And why don't you, Barry, take it away?
Okay. Well, if you remember two shows ago, I attempted to play a little audio recording that Doug made for us, and it failed miserably because the guys on the other end couldn't hear it because I was trying to play it from iTunes, and apparently I don't know what happened, but they couldn't hear it. I could hear it just fine. It was recording just fine. And then last week came, and I was going to play it at the end, and we got talking, and I totally forgot about it because it wasn't in the show notes. Well, I purposely put it in the show notes and purposely put it first, so we can now play this audio clip that Doug made for us probably last year sometime now. I forget the exact date. But here we go, and you guys should be able to hear it now because it's on the iPad. So here we go. starts off quiet.
Shh. Lux, are you?
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good, but you?
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while.
Are you taking the bus these days or what?
Yeah, the car's in the shop.
In the shop?
Been there for about a week or so. I haven't seen you around here.
No, man. I decided I'd take it today.
You well, know. Yeah, no, it's actually kind of fun, man. Hey, man, did I tell you about the, I tell you about that car I saw the other day?
No.
Oh, man. It's like an Oldsmobile. It's like a, I don't know, probably like a 90s Oldsmobile, but man, Oldsmobile? It's not like any car I've ever seen before.
Gotta
no,
be.
Man, it's like a Oldsmobile, but it's got a lift kit on it.
Oh.
And it's got like a brush bar.
Brush bar?
And, oh man, the pipes on it are sweet, but no shit.
Lift kit.
Yeah, lift kit. Oh, a good couple inches. I wish you could have seen it,
that's
man.
That's awesome.
It's pretty freaking awesome. Matte black.
I wish I could have seen it, man.
Hey, wait a minute. I think that's it coming.
What? You serious? Oh man, where's
check
my camera?
Out, man. Yeah, get your camera.
Come on, phone.
Take a picture, man. Take a
come
picture.
Come on, it's slow.
Look, I think he's showing off for us,
this
man.
Fucking... Ah, oh, God damn it, this phone. Yeah. Is it coming from inside?
No way. No shit, man. I wonder if that's the name of his car and he's driving to the soundtrack.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is awesome, man.
Oh, here he goes, quick.
That's the coolest car ever, man. That was awesome. Yeah.
My ass, man. That's badass.
Yeah, badass figure. Oh, man. Oh.
Oh, man. Here comes our badass bus.
Yeah. Our bus is badass sometimes.
Is that a change?
Oh, fuck yourself. And I apologize.
Oh, Doug, thank you.
I apologize to Doug for waiting half a year to get it out, but you know, this is late night QRM with the emphasis on late.
I have to tell you, I was listening to Doug's podcast today, earlier, while I was playing Call of Duty. And it's uncanny, though. My brother called me tonight. And we were talking about it, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm on my four-wheel drive truck and this and that, and I got to fix the hubs, and it's stuck in four-wheel drive and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what's your car? Because, well, we got, like, always multiple vehicles. He goes, oh, yeah, well, but in the snow, I guess I got my Taurus. I'm like, dude, put some, you know, studded snow tires on it. It'll go great in the snow. He said, yeah, but it sits so low to the ground. I'm like, put a lift. He goes, what am I supposed to do? Put a lift kit on it? I'm like, yeah, that's what I did to my old. And he just went, what? I'm like, yeah, 2.5-inch lift kit. And the silence on the other end of the phone was deafening. He went, you put a lift kit on your car? I'm like, yep. I said, I got little dinky snow tires on it. You ought to see it when I put the truck tires on. It'll be cool. And he's like, you've got too much spare time on your hands. You know that? Doug, the timing. Oh, my God. Barry, the timing. But thank you. Thank you. I know what? I'm going to get my head screwed on straight. I know supposedly listening to Dr. Dave that nobody uses G-Plus anymore. Well, I'm going to post pictures of it on G-Plus. I have pictures of the lift kit going on. I just haven't posted them up there yet.
Yeah.
And
I still love G-Plus. You know?
Yeah.
G Plus is still the best. I'm
still
sorry.
Like it. Yeah. I like it. And I will post pictures up there of the, it's, you know, for those who don't like cars, it will be boring as shit when you're looking at suspension, but you'll see it, suspension, the lift in the shop. Once I take it off the lift, what we did, I did that. What? 2 months ago, guys, 3 months ago, almost. And then the new exhaust, is going on. Probably this weekend I might change the exhaust to the glass packs, and then welding up the moose bars for the front.
Hmm.
And then the truck tires go on it. Yeah, Well, on tractor trailers, they're called moose bars that go on the front and grill. So when you hit a moose,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm like, so, you know, that with the LED lights across it, and then the whole thing is going to be matte black. Because I can.
That's right.
Sounds pretty nice.
Oh, jeez. That's funny. That's going to be great.
I'll post the progressions as they... Yeah, I mean, it's going to go from respectable and, it's a 90s, late 90s respectable grandma grocery getter to, what the fuck is that? that's the effect I'm looking for.
I gotta tell you, and this probably belongs in... I'm sorry. It probably belongs in entertainment last month, but I just got to tell you, last weekend we actually watched Mad Max, the new movie.
And, oh, really?
And the whole time I was watching that, I was thinking of Joel. I really was. I mean, most of the characters actually kind of looked like him with the shaved head and...
Barry. Did you admit that to your sweet bride?
What? That I was thinking about Joel?
All through the movie?
I think she was probably thinking about him, too. Oh!
Joel, you're such a magnetic personality. Everybody thinks about you.
Yeah, well...
Because, you know, I have to admit, there are a lot of times during my day that I just sit around and think about Joel as well.
Well, I am pretty fantastic. How can I say?
Yeah. I concur.
I'm my own biggest fan. Well, I mean, now realistically, of the four of us, if there's somebody who's going to be wearing a leather jacket with one sleeve cut off, driving a dune buggy while shooting a 12-gauge shotgun, who amongst the four of us would that be?
And
I mean, really.
Who would have the most awesome fucking tattoos? Oh, I mean, friggin' tattoos. Sorry, Ben.
That's right. It would be Barry. That's
up until last year's I could honestly say out of all of us, I was the only guy that ever slept with Joel, and but then Michael slept with Joel during the MMPR. So
yeah, you know, I thought about that.
Hey,
and how
guys,
much fun we
what
had.
What happens in a Prius stays in the fucking Prius.
Oh no, this wasn't in the Prius. We shared hotel rooms together.
Yeah, at the dorm room.
Oh, geez.
The very same dorm room that if we go back to this year, they will see me dragging a fucking room air conditioner behind me with my luggage. Because it was hotter than holy hell in there.
Oh, God. and an air mattress for Michael.
Yes. You know what? I'll tell you what, Michael, will you pull my wheeled air compressor behind you and I pull the weird air conditioner behind me? We'll have the box with the air mattress in it. And then from there, they're like, what are you guys moving in? Yep. Then Michael's got all of his Wi-Fi gear, a box of wires. Just because you need a box of wires. And before you know it's all set up, it'll be party central.
Well, as long as she doesn't try to give me extra blankets because it's cold again.
Oh, God, yeah, exactly. Would you like more blankets? It's July. I don't need a blanket. I need a compressor. I need Freon. I need something cold.
you guys... Not quite, but almost make me feel guilty for staying in a regular hotel room for no fucking price.
I thought about that, Barty. I'm like, you know what? Where did Barty say he stayed at? The Ramada? I'm going to put
it's
a few...
Marriott at the top of the hill.
Yeah,
from you guys. You could have all crashed in my hotel for no price.
If Joel went through with his thought there, then he would have slept with all of us.
If I crashed at parties.
Yeah.
On the couch. Oh, my God. Well,
yeah,
it's better
you're
than,
right.
It's
we could have all stayed at my room for free and, you know, just divvied up the sleeping quarters by day or night. Because I had chairs.
Yeah, well, my ass is getting a room at the Marriott. I'll tell you what. Because, I mean, I want control of the friggin' thermostat. I would.
Well, with the Marriott, you get that.
Yeah. I thought, well, it's going to be easier than bringing an air conditioner across the border.
I mean, I'm just. I would say so. So I tell you what, boys.
Well, you know, we're trying.
I tell you what, boys. Since I'm a frequent traveler and get credits with Marriott, I'll get the freaking room this time, and we all just kind of like pile in best as we can.
There That's a nice offer, but I need a bed. So,
well, that you know what? I don't care about a bed. You can have the bed. I'll take a chair or the couch. I'm good with that.
Well, no, so then we just got to bring the air compressor and an air mattress. We got it sorted. Three air mattresses and an air compressor. Can you imagine that? You know, we're all having a couple of brandies and whiskeys, and the neighbors next door here. What the fuck's that? It sounds like an air compressor. You know, it is.
Hey,
filling up
the
mattresses.
The hotel has an air conditioner. It'll keep
well, no, let's see this. We got the nice and cool.
Yeah. Joel's going to be there, remember?
I don't care. Joel is awesome. I'll put
I said, you're
going to
be there.
Joel.
You and air conditioners don't get along.
I get along great with air conditioning. I really, really do. I really, really do. It's the Barrow Pizza.
Yeah.
And air conditioning don't get along.
Or
in my lower GI.
Or onion rings.
That's right. That's right. I have to temper that, Joel. You
There's
can
a clause.
Stay in the same room as long as you don't eat any Burger King onion.
No
rings.
Burger King. No burger. No
you
onion
can do
rings.
That in the
no
Sbarro.
Hey, yeah, no Sbarro. Oh my god!
All right, we're getting off topic here.
We're way the fuck off topic. How did we get here?
I don't know.
We're like bottom gear. This is like more like toilet gear. Somebody go to entertainment next month.
Well, no.
We still got two more.
Mine's short. My topic's short. We got about 4 or 5 recall notices on the RAV4, which we didn't really. I can't even tell you what all of them were because it was like, have you ever had problems with this? And she goes, no. That's my wife's RAV4. I said, have you had problems with this? No. Have you had problems with this? No. Well, they're going to replace it for free, so we might as well take it in and get them all replaced. You know, so this week was the big appointment to go in and get all the recalls fixed. And so the RAV4 is doing wonderful now. And of course, there was no problems with it before, but they even gave her a car for overnight. A loner car. So she had a Corolla. Is that it? Yeah. So
yeah, and Corolla, and then you got the Camry.
Corolla kind of a lower level.
Yeah, I think it was a Corolla. It wasn't the Camry this time, but it was. And she goes, it's got a backup camera for so you can look through. I said, yeah, I know. I said all the car makers are pushing this backup camera thing like it's a big deal and it's such a nice thing that they're putting in all the cars. And I said, it's required by law now, starting this year. So that's why you're seeing them in every car. Mm-hmm. But it was nice. It's nice to see, again, you know, Joel cares about the engine and all that stuff. I look in the car, I say, wow. It's got some neat electronic gadgets. So.
Oh, look, dual overhead cams and a turbocharger. Barry's like, it's got Bluetooth and Shihatsu massage mode.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. So that's my bottom gear story.
Cool.
Michael.
Very cool. Michael. Cool.
Yep. And by the way, since you brought up Mad Max, and I have not seen the latest movie yet. Things just haven't turned out this way this year to be able to do that. But I have seen the original three, and fun fact for those that are fans of the Mad Max movies, and that is Toe Cutter is Immortan in the latest movie.
So, really?
Yep. Now I really want to go see it.
So, yeah. Although I haven't seen it yet, you know, I'm very familiar with Toe Cutter because he was from the first movie.
Yeah.
So he comes back.
Wow.
Well, as the actor comes back to play another role, but still.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but that's not what I'm here for. This is Bottom Gear. Let's see here. We finally got the brakes fixed in the truck last week.
Whoa, that's a nice thing.
Well, the brakes are fixed. The anti-lock part is not fixed yet, but the brakes are fixed.
Ah, you don't need those.
Nah. But no, what I'm kind of surprised at is that, you know, you've all seen pictures of the tracked ATV that I used to go up the mountain and back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And its main purpose, really, it was purchased by the township to pull the grooming equipment for the cross-country ski trails. Well, last year, remember, we bought this brand new. Last year,
yeah, Joel and I actually saw it.
Yeah, person.
Yeah, yeah. So we had some electrical problems with it, and then about May, the transmission went out on it, and we started grooming with it this year. And you know, of course, I had to go up and down the mountain with it. But going up and down the mountain, I'm not pulling anything, and I'm always kind of watching my RPMs and everything. But the first time I went grooming with it, I noticed they said, hey, this thing's missing. And I brought it up to the group. And they're like, oh, no, everything should be fine. And they're like, no, it's missing. And, you know, as the weeks went on and everybody's grooming with it, you know, every day, they're like, yeah, this thing's missing. So they finally brought it in. Pistons in the cylinders are shot.
It's what?
It's barely over a year old now. So.
And just for the record, what brand is that I need to stay away from?
Polaris 850.
The Polaris 850.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm no longer on the board that purchased it, but my recommendation to them, I have talked to them about, is fix it and sell this piece of buy something else.
Yeah, get a Bombardier.
Really? Yeah.
Those things are awesome. I love that machine. Yeah.
Wow.
That's my piece.
1 year blown pistons.
Yeah. I am not impressed.
No.
It's not like you take it for beat runs either.
No. Well, I don't know what the other guys are doing with it, but the you know, the cross country grooming equipment isn't that heavy. I mean, it's a load, but it's an 850 too. It should be able to handle it.
Right.
Wow. Jeez. All right. Well, you done with the Bottom Gear? Is that all we got?
I believe that wraps it all up. I do believe that wraps it up.
Okay.
I do have one.
Move on to the next segment.
It's probably good that you got Doug's audio out there, because, you know, the longer you wait, the more danger there is. It's going to be a different vehicle.
Hello.
I can't hear shit. Shit I cannot hear of.
Hello?
I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I know this is going to come across.
No hearing of any shit whatsoever.
Hello?
I think my audio just
crashed. Hey, and welcome everybody to Entertainment Last Month, where we talk about all the entertainment things that have been happening from about a month ago and further back. We try not to stay current.
And we're out.
Somebody?
Call ended.
Really?
Hello? Anybody there?
Kidding me.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I received a call. I heard
recording.
Everybody go out.
Did I see nothing?
Once. Let me try to call everybody.
Why do I see nothing?
Promptly
did it record me?
Fuck you!
Did it not?
Yeah, it's still up.
Wow. That was interesting.
Hello!
I guess I was the one that dropped out.
Hello?
Yeah, what? I don't know.
What?
Hello?
I hear one bloop bloop and silence. Nobody was answering me.
Ruh-roh.
I didn't even get that. All I got was like silence. And I was like, hey, where'd everybody go?
That was weird.
You didn't hear all alone, did you?
It's
I was scrambling. Is it, did my back all drop? What the hell happened?
It's that damn new version of Skype.
Singing on the thing.
Yeah, did you catch my last comment as we were switching out there, as we dropped?
I don't know.
Mike, but as just before you were going to go to entertainment this week, I had said, it's a good thing that you got that audio played from Doug, because the longer you wait, the more danger there is that Joel's going to have a new car.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear that.
No, that didn't make it, but it probably made it in the other recording. So,
well, we're recording now. That dropped when the Skype call dropped.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, but it's back up. It came back.
Oh, that's weird.
As soon as you reestablish the Skype call, the screen came back for Zencast. Well,
those two things have nothing to do with each other, so hopefully it didn't screw things up. Well, we'll find out. The big experiment with beta software.
Woo-hoo!
What can we say? I'm recording here with no problems. Okay, so entertainment last month, the first one, real quick, just want to say, Vikings is back. For those who watch Vikings on the History Channel, it's back.
Oh, I was going to say, because they're out of the playoffs. I mean, you know,
wrong Vikings.
Even make it in.
Wrong Vikings. Very good show, and it's back, and it's good so far. So with that, we go to Michael.
Yeah, well, getting back on the Niantic subject, which is Ingress, this really doesn't interest me too much, but my youngest son either. is actually really interested in, and that is that Niantic is teaming up with Pokemon to create Pokemon Go, I assume a field-type Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
And my teenage son is actually going back and rewatching Pokemon episodes, the old ones, and looking forward to the game arriving. So I think there's actually going to be a group of active players out there on this one. I will not be joining in on this one.
I won't either, because it's
Pokemon,
you know,
I do not choose you.
Yes. And if you go online, they have a video. There's an official Pokemon Go video that you can watch to kind of get a feel for what it's going to be like. And then look around, because there's also a Pokemon one that was put out by some other people that is, it's pretty funny. Sorry. Pokemon was way after anything I ever used to do.
Well, so. I got to see it because I've got two kids.
Same here. Had no Pokemon interest at all.
I have no idea what Pokemon is. So,
neither one of our sons ever really got into it, other than more of a marginal kind of temporary kind of interest. And they were, you know, at the age where they just kind of blew it off and went, screw this.
Yeah. So, anyway. Okay, well, the next topic, this is real short. Again, too, just like Vikings announcement, House of Cards is back. So, if you've watched House of Cards, season four has begun. Season four is there on Netflix for your marathoning enjoyment. And, I'm looking forward to see this, to see whether it continues to basically follow the British version of House of Cards. It would be interesting to see, because I know how the British version of House of Cards ends. So, and then the next thing really isn't, well, it's entertainment, but it's geeky entertainment. Emery and I signed up for a free 2-week, trial of Sling TV. That's a package that's brought to you by the people that make the Sling boxes, except for this you don't need to get. It's basically Arial done legally. And so they offer packages of channels that you can watch on the air, stream it across, and they're cable channels, and they have different packages, except for it's a lot cheaper to get. I mean, it's like $20 a month, and then you can put add-on packages on top of it. for $5 here and this and that. And they have, I think, at least 3 days of back order stuff. So, that you can, you know, on demand type stuff. So you can watch that. We are trying it. It was pretty good. It streamed well. We are not going to follow it up when it's done because right now, currently, the big non-selling point is you can only watch it on one device at a time. And so if you want to show it on two televisions with two different Roku boxes, you have to buy two subscriptions.
Aha.
So your bill just went up to $40 a month. So my next topic is HBO Now. We talked about that before, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that, except for just to tell you HBO Now is the streaming version of HBO, and you don't need to already have a subscription to either a cable channel or a cable service or a satellite service. You can just go out and get HBO Now, and it costs $14.99 a month. We are switching to that because on Dish, I have a package, and the only thing extra I get with that package is HBO. And HBO add-on to my package costs me $19.99 a month. So I can get it for $5 cheaper. Subscribing yep. to HBO Now, and it's exactly the same thing, and it does even on my pitiful fail point internet, it works fine. So right now I'm on a free month trial. I signed up for it. When my free month is over, maybe even before, I'm getting on the Dish site, because I don't want to deal with human beings trying to convince me not to do it. And I am canceling the HBO service off of our Dish. I'm slowly weaning off of the Dish completely, you know,
a little bit.
You know, if somebody comes out with something better, kind of like Sling TV, because I really like the whole concept of the Sling TV, because it was like, wow, these are the channels that I actually want to get, and not, I don't want the religious channels. I don't want the sell me something channels. I don't want all the sports channels. I don't want the 15,000 movie channels. I just want to be able to pick and choose. And this was close. And the other one that's kind of close is, of course, Hulu, which Joel knows all about. And now you can pay a little extra and get Hulu without commercials.
Yep.
Which is good. So we're getting close. Yeah. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. Barty, you got one more?
Yeah. I just wanted to make a mention of a show. I had a short notice trip down to Virginia, and the Showtime channel that was free on the hotel TV had a show called Shameless that just friggin' cracked me up. This really is a pretty sleazy, sorry, miscellaneous, totally irreverent show. If you are looking for something that's safe for families, do not watch this. But, you know, if you're the kind of person that gets a big kick out of low-level laughs, this will be the kind of show for you. This is a story about a series of a total dysfunctional family that doesn't even own their own home. They're all trying to find a way to stay in the place. You know, I don't even know how to describe it, but I found it funny as hell. But there's a lot of nudity. Well, not a lot, but there's a bit of nudity and a lot of sexual activity, and definitely a lot of really bad language. But
I'm gonna have to check it out. All right, we gotta go. We're going long here, so way long. And I'm more concerned about the staying within the confines of the Zencaster. So we have a musical guest tonight. Tonight's musical guest is the Tom Tom Club with their song from the 80s, Genius of a Love. I actually heard this on the radio somewhere and said, I am going to get that for this week's show. It's, yeah, you'll love it. Take you back. So with that, we want to say to all our military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being out there and keeping us safe, being the front line. And you OCONUS guys especially, be careful. And we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So I don't know whether Joel's back yet. Joel, you back?
Joel?
Okay. Well, Joel? We'll continue. From the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And this is Barty, who is living in central New York, pretty much an hour's north of Syracuse, closer to Watertown and the Army base of Fort Drum, living in the Tug Hill Plateau. And who's next?
Michael.
Oh, you're not going to call Joe out there?
I tried to extend it as long as I could.
from the central, south central section of New Hampshire, kind of in the, well, really in the top of the Monadnock region, kind of just south of, the rest of New Hampshire, the north end of New Hampshire, and, east of Vermont and west of the Atlantic Ocean. Well, where I am, actually probably Maine. I'd be, west of Maine. I'm Joel.
You covered that rather well.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, where, yes, there still is snow, this is Michael the Virtual Eaver.
All right, everybody. That's it for 208, 209. Soon! Until then, here's the Tom Tom Club.
Zilla, Zilla, Zilla. 한도를 시키는 들어와야 뭐하는 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 Stepping in a rhythm to a Curtis blow Who needs to think when your feet just go
When I hit it, yeah
Samson, speak! Good boy.